There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello out there to all you hot and messy people. I hope you're happy and well today. I'm your weirdly over-friendly host, Lucy Vine, and this is the Hot Mess Clubhouse, a podcast celebrating funny women. Today's hilarious woman is a bona fide legend, author of 30-odd books, Jill Actual Mansell. I've pretty much been in love with this woman's writing for a lot of my life. I've been obsessed with her books since I read Millie's Fling way back when, and I adored her most recent novel, Maybe This Time, which came out this summer and was predictably an immediate bestseller. Jill talks to me about writing the book, which meant handwriting 600 pages, just imagine, and how it was inspired by an upside-down sheep. We also talk about her career as a whole, how she got into publishing and her false start trying to write Mills and Boone, but just being too funny. There's sillier stuff too, which covers important topics, including, you know, swearing, being a crisps person, and apostrophe snobbery. This episode was recorded as a live event at Waterstones Gower Street, so thank you for having us, guys, but also sorry to everyone out there if the sound quality's a bit audience-y. I hope you enjoy it. And welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse. My name is Lucy Vine, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to be welcoming the amazing Jill Mansell to the club this evening. Even after 30 books, she still manages to be one of the warmest, funniest, most gorgeous storytellers writing today. This evening we're celebrating her new novel, Maybe This Time, which came out in paperback last week. It's absolutely wonderful. I cannot recommend it enough, highly enough, but I don't need to because it's already a bestseller. So everyone, please give a huge hand for the incredibly talented Jill Mansell. So huge congratulations on this new book. I honestly think it's my favourite yet. Could you describe it for us?
You think your life is heading one way and then all of a sudden it just goes in a completely other direction because everything that you thought was going to happen isn't going to happen. You find out that the lovely man you're with isn't quite so lovely after all. And so you up sticks and move somewhere new, which I just think is such an interesting thing to write about.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of the book was started off on Twitter by a picture of an upturned sheep in a field.
Right.
I am a country girl, I grew up in the Cotswolds, and I know that if they lose their balance and tip over in the rain, their wool gets sodden and wet and heavy, and so they're there with their legs in the air and they can't get up again, and it's very dangerous for them, they can die. But people who don't know that might think, what on earth's going on there with that sheep in the field with his legs in the air? And so it just gave me the idea for the whole book because Mimi arrives in this tiny village miles from anywhere. She gets off the train and she thinks...
No taxis.
Yeah, she thinks, I'll get there. I'm going to visit my dad in his new village, so I'll just get a taxi when I get there. And of course, there are no taxis. There's nothing. There's no buses. So she's heading off on foot. She sees somebody wrestling with a sheep in the field and thinks that something just horrendous has happened. Has no clue what's going on.
I was quite worried.
But so she meets somebody who's lovely, who's very happily married, got an absolutely adorable daughter, whose name is Cora, which is, I chose that name because I met Harriet Evans' daughter, Cora, and she was just the most amazing, like, six-year-old you ever
met. Did you tell them that you were naming a character for them?
I think I have, yes. I've done it before with friends.
And was this a sort of a favour, or have you just run out of names after 30 years?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. But yes, I've got all these baby names books, and plus we've got the internet now, which we didn't have when I first started. But you do, you're searching for interesting names, and they all have to sort of go with each other. They can't all have... It's like when my kids were small, I used to have to read the Harry Potter books to my kids, and there was Harry, and there was Hagrid, and there was Hermione, and I just thought, why didn't you just choose them with names that didn't all begin with an H? Mm-hmm. They were difficult to read.
Yeah, I've been told off for that by my editor, like naming too many people with the meaning L. I'm such a narcissist. How many people have sung Maybe This Time at you since this came out?
Quite a few. But it's a nice thing because it's a fantastic
right
song and I really love it. And so
it's wonderful.
I like having the name of the book make people think of a nice song.
Yes.
Which I have done before.
It's been in my head for maybe 3 months straight. It's lovely, I love it. And how do you feel when a new book is coming out? Do you still get nervous and excited and all those things?
More nervous.
More than ever? Why?
Yes. Because when I started off, there was no internet, obviously. So I'd just write a book and it would come out and that would be fine. But now I've got all these people saying, I can't wait, I'm so excited. And I just say, oh, but I hope they're not going to be disappointed. And I know, but it's just human nature, isn't it? You do get nervous.
But do you think that you've just maybe forgotten how nervous you were before? And like childbirth, you blanked it out in order to have another one.
It's not as bad as childbirth.
Isn't it? I do want to talk about CJ because he's one of my favourite characters.
He's one of my favourite characters.
Amazing. So he's an author.
He's a monster.
I quite fancy him. I always fancy monsters.
He's just one of these really successful authors that he's come to take everything for granted now and think a little bit that he's sort of a bit godlike.
Yeah.
You must do it as well. You think things that you wouldn't ever say. But he does say, he'll say anything. But he was a monster, and people have noticed that he's a dinosaur. He says he's a dinosaur because he writes by hand with a fountain pen, but that's what
that
I
do,
yeah.
Right.
People have told me that I'm a dinosaur, and I am, but I can't help it. That's
very
the way,
successful dinosaur.
That's the way the books get written.
Yeah.
So I just
do sort of fall in love with Cal, who's your, am I allowed to say romantic lead?
Yeah.
It's okay to say, right?
Yeah.
Do you fall in love with these guys as you're writing them a little bit? Are you a bit like, tutting at your husband and being like, why aren't you more like Cal?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Because when we first met, me and my husband, well, we're not married, but whatever.
I'm sorry, partner.
30-odd years ago. He used to be so funny, and I used to be so funny. And
you are so funny!
I know, but after 35 years, we're not so funny with each other.
Right.
If I was meeting somebody new, I would make an effort to be funnier. Right. And so would he. It's thrilling sometimes when we do make each other laugh, but it doesn't happen as much. I used to say, well, you used to be much funnier.
Make him read your books and say, could you just be a bit more like this guy?
No. Oh, gosh. He tried to read the first one, and it was like he was studying for an A-level or something. He was saying, right, I'm up to chapter seven now. Go on, test me. I've really read it. I really know the characters.
I want to now do the Clubhouse initiation, which, don't panic, doesn't involve streaking. Unless you're up there. It's just a quick fire, get to know you round. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay, here goes. How vivid are your dreams?
Oh, my God. Oh, sometimes they're very, very vivid. And I had a panic dream the other day that I went into a shop and saw my new book and I took it off the shelf and all the pages fell out. And I'd forgotten that until you said it.
I'm so sorry.
Have you ever broken a bone?
Yeah.
Lots of them?
A few. My daughter brought a friend home from school one day for the very first time, and they were sitting having a lovely sort of polite, I want you to be my friend, will you be my friend conversation, and I fell down the stairs, and I went down the stairs going, and landed at the bottom, and I broke my foot. And she said, oh, Mum, you're so embarrassing.
Did she check you weren't dead first, or just embarrassing?
No, it was just embarrassing.
What are you a snob about?
Apostrophes.
Is that
cool?
That's a very good answer.
Is that snobbish if people do apostrophes? Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. What is your nickname?
Oh, I don't think I've got one now. I used to be called Matchsticks at school because my legs were so thin.
Is that why they kept breaking?
That's why. Nobody's ever seen my legs. I just always wear long stuff and cover them up. They're really skinny.
Did you ever get lost when you were little?
Yeah, a couple of times. I went up to somebody that I thought was my mum and said, Mum, and held their hand and it wasn't them.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
I know. And then my son did that when he was about 3 or 4, and I saw it happen, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Do you kiss on one cheek or two?
Two, I think. I think, because I live down in Bristol, it's sort of, we don't really do it so much. And then I come up to London and all of a sudden I have to start doing the kiss thing.
Yes. And then finally, how do you take your tea?
Brown tea, not green weird tea.
Okay, brown tea. I've never heard it referred to as brown tea before. Well, congratulations. You are now officially in the Hot Mess Clubhouse, Jill.
Fantastic.
There is a goodie bag.
Oh, my goodness.
And you don't like, usually I fill this with chocolate, but you're not a chocolate person, are you?
Not much. Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm not a crisp person.
Yeah, so there's some crisps in there.
Oh.
I did my research. And there's a tiny tiara that I need you to put on. You don't actually have to. She does.
That's it.
Because she's the queen.
I don't know how to do it.
Just sort of, I think, stick it. Yeah. There you go. That's really good. So, your incredible writing career, after 30 books, can you actually remember all your stories and characters? Do people ever try and talk to you about something and you have no idea what they're referring to?
I do lose track, but my American publishers are just bringing out my first book. So in January, the very first book that I wrote 35 years ago, so that came out, and I had to go through it because you have to sort of Americanize them and do sidewalks and the pavements and things. When they say things like, if I've said Alan Carr in a book, they'll say, we don't know who Alan Carr is, can you just give us an American?
They should know who Alan Carr is. Have you had to do that at all with your other foreign translations and stuff?
No, just the American one.
Yeah. I got some funny emails when they were translating Hot Mess, especially I think it was Poland who emailed me and said, what's a spit roast? Is it a dance move? And if it's not a dance move, can we make it a dance move? Yes, that's fine. So where do you get your ideas from?
I watch a lot of television.
Lovely.
I watch This Morning. And over the years, I've just used ideas from problems, phone-ins, and sometimes it's a fun story that's happened to a friend of mine, and then I'll ask them if I can use it.
Oh, you do ask?
Oh, yes.
But have you met anybody yet that didn't want to be written about?
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I have not yet met anybody who didn't want me to write. All the people in my life are really cross with me that they haven't starred in a book yet.
Yes, and I tell you what happens. It's always the least hearing material men. Yeah. You come up to me and say, that's me, isn't it? That's me. And they are convinced that it's them.
Yeah, it's definitely a man thing, especially.
Yeah, the women don't do that, but the men do it all the time.
That's so funny.
And they want to be chosen, and then when they aren't chosen, they still think they've been chosen.
As we mentioned, you do handwrite everything. Mm. I mean, how long had you spent writing 100 pages by hand?
Well, I usually do 600 pages handwritten, so probably 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is astonishing. Have you ever tried writing on a computer?
Yes, I've tried it. Because a writer friend years ago said, Jill, you doing your books the way you do, it's like you carrying all your washing 5 miles down into the valley and bashing it on the rocks in the stream to get it clean instead of putting it into a washing machine. And I know that, and I know it will be so much easier, but writing by hand is the only way that I can do it. I have tried, I know it would be so much easier. My daughter types my books now for me, and when she was living in France training to be a teacher, I used to photograph each handwritten page and email it to her.
And she can read your handwriting, presumably.
She can read my handwriting.
Is that why you hire her?
Yes, she can also tell me off when I have a sort of an 18-year-old character saying, oh crikey. She's like, Mum, they don't say that anymore.
But you must have to be very self-disciplined to actually sit down and write. Your hands must hurt so much.
No, they don't, because I only do about... I'm like a bit of a snail. I'm not one of these people that can say, oh, I've done 6,000 words today. I'm more of 1,000 words a day.
You call yourself a snail, and then you say there's another book coming out in January. That it can't be possible. You must be lying.
I know. I'm so envious of these people that can write all these thousands and thousands of words. And I am just like this really boring, slow person. I don't like to do drafts because I get bored with rewriting. So I tend to just do the one write and then a sort of a tidy up rewrite.
Do you read it when it's been typed out?
No. Well, I do.
Such a diva, I love this feel. You've earned it, have you?
No, it's because I've just finished writing it, and then Marion will come back with my edits, and so then I will have to read it then.
Right.
I know that Lydia's done it, you know, okay, to be sent off to Marion.
Right.
And Marion does that, and she comes back with her edits, so then I have to rewrite the bits that she says. And, but what's fascinating is you never know what is going to be good and what's going to be bad. Sometimes I'll be writing a bit and thinking, this is really awful. I really hope Marion doesn't notice how awful this is. And make me rewrite it. And then she'll come back and say, oh, I really love this bit. And then another bit that I think is the best bit of the whole book, she'll say, maybe we could lose this. And yeah. But she's my editor and she knows what she's doing. And so I go along with it.
Do you throw tantrums and say, no, we're keeping things?
95% of the time I do what Marion says because she's good at her job. Yeah.
That's good. That's a relief. Do you indulge? Are you somebody that looks up reviews and checks what people are saying?
Yes. I mean, the lovely thing, the best thing about being on Facebook and Twitter, and I didn't want to be on Twitter to begin with. My publishers tried to get me on Twitter and I said, I don't want to go on that, I'm not interested, don't make me do it. And they said, just try it for a few days, and if you really hate it, you can give up. And so I tried it for a few days, and then I was completely hurt. I could have written loads more books if I hadn't been on Twitter. But there's that thing now, the midnight thing before your book is published for the first time, and people are waiting up for it to arrive on their Kindles.
Wow.
And that is just brilliant and amazing. And people say, oh, I've taken the next day off work, so it's going to arrive at midnight, and I'm going to just sit and read it all night.
That's
it's
amazing.
Just, it's mind-blowing, and it's all over the world as well. It's just
incredible.
Fantastic.
Speaking of all around the world, I read your Wikipedia page, journalist, and you have sold more than 10 million copies. Well, wait, I mean, that's probably been doubled since the Wikipedia page was updated, but does that blow your mind, or are you a bit used to it now?
I can't imagine that number.
Yeah.
But I know when I first started that I think we got to like sort of 60 or 70,000, and somebody said that Wembley Stadium was like 70,000. And to think of Wembley Stadium, and I used to do that, I thought, imagine everybody in Wembley Stadium sitting, instead of watching a football match, sitting reading one of my books. That's just...
And do you feel able to own that? Are you able to say, you know what, I've done amazingly well? No.
I'm British.
Do you have men come up to you and say, like, oh, I quite enjoyed that. Well done, you. Even though I'm not the demographic sort of thing.
Yeah, usually the men are usually on holiday with their wives. They've run out of books to thrillers to read. They've run out of Lee Child and James Patterson. And so they haven't got anything else. So they'll read one of mine and they'll say, oh, I read it. I enjoyed it.
It was okay,
it was
you know.
One guy said... he said, I learned something from your book. He said, every year I buy the missus, I'm sure he said the missus, it's a few years ago, but he was that kind of person. I buy the missus underwear sexy underwear for Christmas. And he said, I read in your book that a woman said, I wish for once, instead of sexy underwear, he'd just buy me a beautiful cashmere cardigan. And he said, so I bought my wife a cashmere cardigan for Christmas. And he said, she's never been so happy about anything in her life.
An amazing thing that I'm not sure male authors have as much is this incredibly supportive network of female authors, which I have found in the last couple of years, which is incredible. And as evidenced by Lindsay Kalk being here this evening. Thank you, Lindsay. And I know you're incredibly supportive and lovely to many, especially up-and-coming authors. Do you think it's important to give fellow, you know, female writers a leg up in that way?
It's just a nice thing to do. Just before my first book came out, I was invited along to the NIBBYs, the British Book Awards, and I was introduced to Julie Cooper, and it was a very snowy day, and we didn't know if the trains were running, and she was so lovely. I met her and chatted to her, and I said, oh, I've got to be at work in the morning, and I don't know if there's, with the snow, it's going to be difficult. And so she was at the height of her...
Cooperisness.
And I was absolutely nobody at all. And she said, well, look, I've got a car taking me home from here in London to my house. Why don't you come back with me and stay at my house tonight and then get back to work in the morning? And I had to say no, because I couldn't get back from her house in Bisley, Stroud, by 8:30 in the morning at the hospital, because you can't let people down in the hospital. You've got to be there. And so I said, oh, that's so lovely, thank you, but no, I can't accept. But what a dream thing for somebody to say. So if I can be nice to other people... I think once at a book signing since then.
Did you go over and say, I've got my sleeping bag.
I'm staying, I'm not moving out this time. I'm staying for a week.
I've quit my job. I'm going to ask for some audience questions in a minute, so get your thinking heads on. But will you keep doing this indefinitely? Please say yes.
I think so, yes. Every time I sort of think, oh, I can't do it anymore, and then you sort of come up with another idea. And
so you mentioned, am I allowed to say Cotswold?
Yes, the next one. Well, I did an event in the Cotswolds about 3 months ago. And it was set, we were staying in this amazing, the oldest inn in England.
Wow,
and it was over 1,000 years old.
Wow.
And it was so fantastic. And I kept thinking, I'm going to have to write about this place, it's so beautiful. So I am changing the name of Stow on the Wold. But if people look up Stow on the Wold, it will be that, I think. And so I've just started writing it. I've written about 60 pages so far, and I'm winging it at the moment. I haven't got any idea what's happening.
But so do you not plan? I wanted to ask you about that.
I've always wanted to be a planner because I'm sure it would be so much easier, but I just can't do it.
Well, it obviously works. Are you allowed to tell us anything about the one that's coming out in January?
If anybody's seen the Richard Curtis film About Time,
oh yeah,
that's the house it's set in. Big white house.
Oh wow!
Looking over the sea in Cornwall with the lovely.
But it's not About Time.
No, it's not.
Do you have any audience questions? Do you have any Liza Minnelli songs you'd like us to sing? Yes.
You said earlier that you, like at the beginning, you were rejected a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to know is the books that you submitted. Did you just say, "All right, I'm not going to use them," and write complete new books? Or did you return to them later, or did you just keep going with those books, maybe edited?
What was happening? I was working in the hospital and I was wondering if there was anything that I could do to transform my life. And I picked a magazine out of the waiting room, and it was a Sunday Express colour supplement, and there was a piece in there about women who transformed their lives by becoming best-selling authors. And so I thought, okay, I'll have a go at that. And
amazing.
And so I started doing that. But at the time, these massively best-selling authors were Mills and Boone authors.
Yeah.
So although Mills and Boone wasn't my favourite thing to read, I read loads and tried to become a Mills and Boone author. And I sent the books off, and they said, "You write well, but they're too funny. There's not enough emotion, and there's too much humour. So cut out the humour, more emotion, and then we might consider you." And I just found that I couldn't cut out the humour, and I couldn't ramp up the emotion. And so nothing ever happened with any of them. I've still probably got them in a...
Can we?
No, they're probably awful.
Funny sex. That's all I would
want to
read.
So then I started and went from trying to do something that I thought I should do to become successful to writing the kind of thing that I would like to read.
Do you have them all these pieces of paper with your words written? Do you have an attic full of words?
Probably, yes. I did throw loads out for the recycling. And I put them out in the big black recycling box, and then I happened to go out into the kitchen one day just as they were being collected by the recycling people, and they were all standing around, six men, reading bits out of my book to each other and pissing themselves off.
Any other questions?
I just wanted to ask, with you writing by hand, do you set yourself a deadline every day of how many words you want to write, or is it just how you feel them? If you come to a natural end for the day, or...
It's lovely if I can do 1,000 words a day, which is like 5 pages for me. Towards the very end of the book, then maybe I can do maybe nearly 2,000, but 1,000's fine. And when I left work to become a writer, all my friends said, "You write from home, you won't do anything, you'll just..." But the thing is, if you don't get it done and you don't meet your deadlines, then your publishers will dump you, and they'll go with somebody who can meet their deadlines.
Do you do Monday to Friday, like 9 to 5?
Yeah, sort of, yes.
Amazing.
And if you really have a bad day and you don't want to do any work, then you feel more guilty the next day, so you force yourself to... I still wish I could be one of these people that wrote loads and go on these writing retreats.
It's so fun, isn't it? Should you do a writing retreat then?
Yeah. Oh, God. All these people do these and they keep inviting me. And I said, I'd love to go on a writing retreat, but I wouldn't get a single word written.
Just be drinking all
the time. Yes, having fun.
Sounds great. Any other questions before we... Okay, yeah, sure.
Do you read? And if so, is there something that you wish you'd written?
Jojo Moyes, Me Before You.
Oh.
And I love the fact that the first time I met Jojo, we were both very, very low on the food chain of authors.
But this is what I mean, it's such a community.
I think it must be really hard to have a huge hit with your first book. Mm. And I'm glad that didn't happen. because it's much more natural to grow an audience. And she was just so amazing writing that. Nobody thought, none of her publishers weren't so sure about the idea of what she was writing about, but she wrote it because she wanted to write it. And I think that was one of my favourite fantastic books. That's the kind of thing I'll aim for and want to try and be as brilliant as they are.
You are. Oh, Joel, you're so wonderful. I can't say that enough. And thank you so, so much for being here this evening. You are a goddess, and I think everybody here agrees with that. And thank you for continuing to write such joyful, brilliant, wonderful books. Please continue to do so forever. And thank you all to everyone here for joining us this evening, and for Waterstones for hosting us. Let's give a huge round of applause for us.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.